what I've decided to call pastoral leadership. I had a bit of a problem with this one. So as we looked at the different gifts, and I listed about 20-something different gifts. I'm not looking at all 20 eventually, but about 18 or so. I had pastoring down, or pastors. But the problem is that in Scripture, it actually uses this term kind of pastoring and caring and pastors in slightly different ways. So there's two slightly different ways of use. So there's the gift of caring, which we will be looking at a later date, but there's also the gift of pastoring. Now, you may say to me, aren't they the same thing? Well, they're not quite the same thing, and therefore I kind of wanted to separate them a little bit, but there is some overlap as well. So if you're sitting there thinking, well, that sounds like caring, yes, that is caring, but it's also something else as well, and hopefully that will make sense as we go through. So if you're confused already, let me just put up this little table up on the... I hope you can read that. And so I've entitled one side pastoral leadership and on the other side pastoral care. And you'll see there's actually slightly different. So tonight we're going to be looking at pastoral leadership particularly, looking at this whole area of shepherding, which is the word pastor comes from. Leading, correcting, feeding, resting, rescuing, protecting, all those things that we're going to be talking about. What we're not going to be talking about, although we may touch on it a little bit, is supporting, befriending, practical help, encouragement, listening, visiting, and kind of crisis care as well, although we will touch a little bit on crisis care as well as we go through this evening. So I don't know if that's any clearer at all, but hopefully by the end it may make some sense. Because when you come to Scripture, there is this term that Scripture uses called the word pastoring, or sometimes the title pastor. So in Ephesians 4, when you look at the Ephesians 4 group of roles within the church, for equipping the church, pastor becomes one of those. But then when you look at Corinthians, you actually find the gift of caring or the gift of helping. And these two kind of overlap, but they have some differences as well. And there is this role within Scripture of the shepherd. The shepherd. And the shepherd has been a kind of term that has resonated and rolled from generation to generation, all the way down, all the way through the Old Testament with the great shepherds such as Moses and Abraham and Jacob and David and Amos. These were all great shepherds, leaders of the people of God, all the way into the New Testament where Jesus stands up and what does he say? I am the good shepherd. He kind of picks up that metaphor of pastor, that metaphor of shepherd, and he stands before the people and says, I am the good shepherd. So you may say, well, what's that got to do with the gifts of the Spirit? Well, what happens is the church then picks up the shepherding role and takes on the shepherding role into its calling under the gift of God by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit of God. So Acts 20, verse 28, Paul has this lovely scene with the Ephesians as he's leaving Ephesus and he's talking to the Ephesian elders and he says this to them. Keep watch over yourself and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, i.e. the gift of the Spirit has put upon you. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he brought with his own blood. And then we've just read that 1 Peter chapter 5 passage. I'll just read the first two verses of that. To the elders among you, I appeal to you as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, and so forth, as he goes on to instruct them. And so this shepherding, pastoring role has rolled through the generations and the years, and now the church has a role under the Spirit of God as God leads us in this area of pastoring, of caring for each other, but also, actually, I would say, searching for the sheep that are still yet to be found and brought in to the kingdom of God. And that is part of pastoring, is it not? I mean, that's part of a shepherd. We'll get onto that in a minute or two, but that is part of a shepherding role. I wanted to say something at the beginning of this, though, because some of you will be sitting there going, oh, it's that shepherding word that he's going to talk about tonight. And sadly, many churches have taken hold of this kind of shepherding, pastoring role, the word pastor, and they've turned it into something it never was meant to be. It was never meant to be this authoritarian, kind of instructive role of leadership that told people how to live their lives and how they were to live out their Christian faith. I mean, there's areas of teaching and leading and guidance and all those kind of things, but not this kind of detailed instruction and authority about how you spend your money, how much you give to the church, when you attend certain things and all those kind of things. And sadly, many churches have gone through that, what we call a heavy shepherding kind of experience. And I wanted to say that I'm not talking about that tonight. Actually, you'll see that I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about leadership. I'm talking about leadership, but I'm not talking about heavy leadership. I'm talking about what a shepherd does for the sheep and how that relates into church life. So bear with me. Ezekiel, when, as I was thinking about this, I thought Ezekiel 34, if you want a passage in front of you, that's the one worth having in front of you. Ezekiel 34, verses 11 to 16, is really what I've based some thoughts on tonight. Do you know, when I started this series, I thought I'd be in the New Testament all the time. But I see so far, through many of the gifts that we've done so far, I found myself going back to the Old Testament. I find that really interesting. And then I suddenly realized that God is the God of yesterday, today, and forever. And these gifts were for the Old Testament as much as they were for the New Testament. So we shouldn't be surprised to find a reflection or a shadow of what these gifts in the Old Testament as much as we find them also in the New. As I was going through this, I realized that Psalm 23 is very pertinent to our thinking. And we will be just touching on a few verses in Psalm 23 as well. So I want to share with you, I think it's five. One, two, three, four, five. Five things about shepherds. Okay, five things about shepherds. And you can imagine, if you want, that you're a shepherd, or you can imagine you're a sheep, or you can just imagine we're out on the hillside somewhere with lots of sheep barring away as we kind of get that kind of image of sheep in your head and the shepherd being amongst the sheep as we go through. And the first thing I wanted to say is a shepherd's role, one of the shepherd's role is to lead. As we read this passage in Ezekiel 34, verse 13, we see the shepherd, the great shepherd, who eventually is to be Jesus, saying this: I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. And there was this picture of leading the people back to where they needed to be. In fact, that leadership role is very clear in Psalm 23, verse 2. You know Psalm 23 very well. I'm sure many of you do. And it says in verse 2, he says, he leads me beside quiet waters. Western shepherds, so you've got your scene of sheep and shepherds, and you're now picturing a shepherd herding his sheep along a country lane. Maybe you're in your car watching this go by. You may have been caught up in this kind of scene in your car. And what you see is you see the sheep going forward with the shepherd behind, herding the sheep with Lassie or Lassie A and B or C gathering around them, making sure they head in the right direction. Sadly, that is not the picture that you ought to be thinking of. We now need to go to the Middle East, not Western society. Western society herds sheep from behind. We herd sheep. The Middle East, the shepherd in the Middle East, leads sheep, i.e., they go out in front of the sheep. So when you go to the Middle East, what you find is a shepherd is out front. He's not got Lassie behind him herding the sheep out of fear to get the sheep going in the right direction. What he does is he calls the sheep. He whistles to the sheep. He makes noises to the sheep. And the sheep hear his voice, and the sheep follow. And as the shepherd leads, so the sheep follow behind the shepherd, not out of fear, but of out of recognition, of out of reassurance that the shepherd is going in the right direction, that the shepherd knows where the best place, The sheep are led not out of fear, but led by trust in the shepherd. That's a really important thing when we think about heavy shepherding. Heavy shepherding is about herding from behind, isn't it? It's about having a stick or a staff. It's about having a few dogs that might bite your ankles as you move forward. A leadership of trust is a leadership that leads from the front and says, come, come, let's go in this direction. And we move in the right direction. Now, sadly, in recent times, your leadership has taken a huge knock, mainly by leaders themselves. You know, we may look at politicians, and I'm not going to point to any particular, but you could come up with your own politician and think that was poor leadership. You might think of teachers and think that was poor leadership. You may think of business leaders and you may think that's poor leadership. You may think of your mother or your father and think that wasn't great leadership. You may think of directors of companies that weren't good leadership. You may even think of church leaders that were not good leaders. But, and can I say this, and it's in capitals in my notes here, so it must be important. It's an important but, whatever your experience of leadership, however bad it might be, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Not that babies lead, you understand. But let's recognize that leadership is still a gift of God, given by the Spirit, that certain people, as called and directed, as appointed and recognized, as elected as in our tradition, is actually really important and is a gift that is given by God, that certain people at certain times, in certain ways, might lead the sheep, might pastor the sheep, might call them forward in a style that is led by trust and not by fear. Second word that I wanted to bring to you about shepherds is the shepherd rescues. The shepherd rescues. Look at these verses together. I will rescue. This is verse 11 in chapter 34, Ezekiel. I'll rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. Sorry, that was verse 16. I mean, I don't know much about sheep, although I've been occasionally to Wales or Cornwall, and I remember staying in a little cottage in Wales up in the mountains somewhere. I forget exactly where now. It snowed, actually, at one point, and there were sheep in the field next door. Next door, is that the right terminology? Anyway, the field next to us, next to the cottage, and I could take my dog into the field, but we went out there every morning, and the sheep were scattered all over the place. There was no rhyme or reason or pattern about the way that sheep behave. And it doesn't take you long to, you know, even if you don't know much about sheep, that sheep wander. And then one day we came back with the car, and we realized that this small lamb, I guess, had actually got out from the field and was out on the other side of the fence, and you kind of wondered how it managed to do this. And the mother was on the other side, and they were bleating and barring at each other. I can't remember what happened at the end of the story. Never know, the lamb might still be there, I'm not sure. But it didn't want us to go anywhere near it, of course. But sheep wander, don't they? Sheep get lost. You know, every generation, through all years, have known. Anyone that's known about a little bit about sheep know that one of the words, if you said, let's have a word association game, you'd say wander. Sheep get lost. They go to the wrong places. They put themselves in danger. They're one of the daftest, stupidest animals on the universe, it seems. God must have had a laugh when he created sheep. And yet, they seem to, or people seem to identify quite well with sheep. I think that's why Scripture often uses the analogy of shepherd and sheep, that actually wandering in our own lives is something we're quite used to. And many of us will know that we have found our place in the place of lostness, in the place of this place of dark clouds, what Ezekiel calls the day of clouds and darkness, this moment when we have lost our focus, we've lost our way, we're not sure what's going on in our lives, and we have no hope, no future. The people of Israel in the time of Ezekiel were in such a position. Of course, they were in exile. They'd lost everything. everything with darkness and hopelessness. And yet this shepherd will rescue them. Will rescue them. He will come looking for them. And he will search for them. Three things. He will search for the lost sheep. We all know the great parable of the lost sheep. It's my favourite parable. I love preaching. And I must be very careful now, otherwise I will get onto another sermon. But I love the parable of the lost sheep. And the one lost sheep, you know, 99 are left on the open hillside. And the mad, crazy shepherd leaves those 99 to discover the lost sheep. God he can't help himself but go and search for the lost. There's something about the lost that drives God to distraction, so much so that he will leave 99 who think they're righteous and go and find the lost person. And why is that so important? Well, it's so important because you and I were once lost, were we not? We were once lost. And then yet God comes, and yet unless God comes and finds us, where might we be? Still lost, I guess. Well, what's that to do with the Spirit? The Spirit's gift of pastoring or shepherding? Well, the role of a shepherd and the role of the shepherds, the church of shepherds, if you want, is to go and find the lost. That we too must be so distracted by the lost that we can't help it, but actually go and search for them. It upsets us. It concerns us. It means that we get on our knees and pray. So we're going to get to that prayer meeting because it's important, because we need the chief shepherd to tell us where the lost sheep are and how we can go and discover them. So the whole role of rescuing, and I want to suggest to you that the church is a church of shepherds. You know, it's not just about one shepherd. You know, we've gone past that day, have we? Please. We have gone past the day of just one pastor, have we? We have.
Yes.
We have. We're a church of shepherds. We have a chief shepherd. And we say to the chief shepherd, send us out that we might find the sheep and bring them back. That's pastoring, that's caring for those who don't know Jesus. Number two, the shepherd redirects the wanderers. So there are people that, there were the sheep that part of the flock and they've gone wandering off. And what the shepherd does, he goes and finds them and he brings them back. And he redirects them to the place, the right path on which they need to be on. And this one I love. The shepherd goes and rescues the injured. The shepherd goes and rescues the injured. The ones in that moment of crisis where everything is going wrong. Sickness hits. Redundancy hits. You need someone to listen to you. You feel that sense of depression or darkness in your life or whatever it might be. Then there might be a shepherd that comes and binds up your injuries. I love that scene of the mad shepherd, as I like to call him. You know, the one who once had 100 sheep, he found one and lost 99. You know that one? As he arrives at that lost sheep, and he binds up the injuries, and he picks up the sheep, and he begins to carry it back home again. And he has that sheep. And that's pastoring, isn't it? That's caring, that's shepherding. It's caring and looking after those who are injured. It's the visiting, it's the listening, it's the words of encouragement, it's the praying, it's the healing that we offer in the name of Jesus. That's the shepherding role. Number three, I need to crack through these fairly quickly. Number three is feeding. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one because this one really overlaps very much with what we were talking about in terms of teaching. But chapter 34, Ezekiel, verses 14 and 15, says, I will tend them to good pasture, and the mountains heights of Israel will be their grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. And that's verse 15, that last little bit. And so the gift of teaching, or the role of teaching within the church, is very much part of pastoral care. It's about feeding. You know, that you try this, stop eating for a while, and you will discover you become weak. Start eating again. What happens? You become strong. You need food. You need nourishment. And so teaching is offered. The green, green grass of teaching is offered to the sheep for nourishment, for strengthening, for understanding. And yes, even correction from time to time. That we might learn and grow. We spent a lot of time looking at that whole area of teaching, very much part of the role of pastoring, the gift of pastoring. And then there's the fourth one is, and I'm glad this one's here. I don't know if he's put it up. He's put it up. Resting. And this one's really challenged me this week. And I'm not sure if I can call myself, you know, as a pastor in that kind of role. I'm not sure if I've done this very well in terms of my leading and pastoring in the church. Because I'm quite a driven person and I understand that, you know, I can drive a church. I can drive a flock quite hard. And in some ways, you know, there's an urgency about the kingdom of God. And, you know, we do not want to be sitting around sunbathing when people are lost. You know, that drives me. But there is this biblical precedent and pattern that we need to rest from time to time. Verses 14 and 15 again of that same chapter. There they will lie down in good grazing land. They lie down. In verse 15, I will tend my sheep and make them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. In Psalm 23, verse 1, he makes me lie down in green pasture. And it's that lie down bit that often I've overlooked in these passages. You know, it's the green. I've been thinking of the food of the green pasture often. You know, that's great, the food of the green pasture, but lying down on the field is just as important. You try living your life without sleep. Some of you probably haven't had much sleep recently, but through coughs and colds and all those kind of things, you know, it's hard work. You need to rest. We all need to rest. And good pastoring, good caring is about resting. Rest is not an added extra. It's an essential part of life. And is it not surprising that many of us are so stressed and exhausted and tired? And we have poor relationships and there's sickness in our lives and we fall into temptation and we underperform all because we don't stop to rest. The word rest or the word restored comes from the word rest, doesn't it? I worked that all out on my own this week. No one told me that. And do you not feel at times that you need to be restored? You need to be restored. You need to be restored, so, I mean, many different ways, but I'm going to just mention three very quickly. We need to be restored physically. We need physical restoration. Time to sleep. Time to allow our minds to rest. Time to undertake leisure activities. Time just to walk and be still. And a holiday, if you want to use that word. This is probably where I am at, slightly better at this area, but you speak to any of the ministry team and they will tell you one of the things I'm on at them is about their days off. Are you resting? Are you taking a holiday? When's your holidays this year? Why haven't you taken all your holiday? Why are you not stopping? Oh, it's too much to do, but you need to rest. You need a Sabbath. You need a sabbatical. It's great. I'm still waving goodbye to that good friend sabbatical. Another 7 years. See you later. But physical rest is really important to be restored back into that right place. We need to be restored spiritually. We need to be with God. We need to receive the Holy Spirit. We need to refocus on His purposes and His will. And good pastoring is to allow people to enter into such a place. I know that Linda and I think Sean, a number of them went on retreat recently to a retreat centre just down in West End. Why not go on a retreat? Take a day off. And instead of doing the housework, who cares about dust? Actually, I do because I get dust allergies. But who cares about dust and keeping your house tidy? Keep your soul tidy. Get your soul right. Allow your soul to be rested with the Lord. But there's a third element to this, which is really important. We need to rest socially. We need to rest in our relationships, to be reacquainted with friends, to be reconciled with people, to have time with our loved ones and our partners, our wives, our husbands, to have time with our children and our family. We need to rest as people in these areas. And the Good Shepherd the good shepherd, sets the precedent and says, here is green grass. Lie down in it and rest for a while. Now, let me just give you a warning for a moment, just in case you think I'm becoming soft as a pastor. You know, the shepherd doesn't remain in the restful place. There's moments, there's times for rest, and then there's time for moving on, there's times for getting up and going again. And Scripture gives clear warning against laziness, and many of us jump on board with this rest teaching, doctrine, if you want, and say, yes, that's for me. That's my doctrine. I like the rest doctrine. I'm not sure I'm very keen on this hard-working doctrine, but the rest doctrine. Well, the two got to go hand in hand, haven't they? They've got to be balanced, haven't they? They've got to be put alongside each other. And Scripture clearly encourages us not to be lazy. Many of us can fall into laziness. I mean, I can fall into laziness. Not difficult to become lazy, to think, do you know what? I can't be bothered today. Have you ever felt like that? Yeah. Me and Toby, we're the only ones that have ever got up in the morning and thought, I can't be bothered today. That's laziness. That's not rest. That's laziness. Rest is actually proactive. Laziness is just being lazy. And let's not mix the two up. And then the last thing before we finish and close tonight is the role of protection. The role of protection. And this one comes partly through this, but mainly through Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, look, if we're thinking of a Western shepherd, the rod and the staff is something to beat the sheep with, to prod them, to move them forward, give them a little whack because they're not actually behaving themselves. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about a Middle Eastern shepherd who leads in the front. And the sheep see the rod and the staff, and they receive comfort from it. And why do they receive comfort from it? Because they know that the rod and staff is there not to beat them, but to protect them. It may be just to push them back onto a path, maybe, so they don't fall off the cliff. But more likely, it is to get rid of a wild animal that is going to attack them. And so the shepherding role, the pastoring role, has a role of protection. That we might come under the word of God. That we might actually gather together. That we might worship together. That we might accompany each other so that we might keep close to each other. And close particularly to God's word. That we might be accompanied by people that, and that's why I love the Barnabas Network. You know, that all those mentees who said, I want a mentor. It's like saying, I want someone to journey alongside me. And that's pastoring, isn't it? That's having a friend who's looking out for you, who's praying over, who's watching over you, all shepherding terms. And that's a good thing, to have a spiritual companion. To be warned about things ahead, to make sure that our doctrine's in place, to make sure that we're actually standing on solid ground. That's what teaching is about. It's about being corrected occasionally. There's nothing wrong with being corrected. If we didn't correct anyone, you know, we're now in a society that just we don't want to confront anyone, do we? You know, you don't confront each other. Don't tell each other when you've got bad habits or you're doing things wrong. And don't tell your children when they're doing things wrong. For goodness sake, don't tell your children that. That will be, you know, be terrible. You don't tell your children off nowadays. What kind of society are we in? I'll tell you what kind of society we're in. A kind of society that doesn't care about protecting each other. About actually saying, we need to be corrected from time to time. There needs to be disciplines around us. We need the rod and the staff, not to beat us, but to protect us so that we are safe. And pastoring is part about that. So when your mentor says to you something that you didn't want to hear, take it on the chin and say, Lord, are you trying to say something to me? I remember someone who I was given a mentor or supervisor, actually, I think they were called a supervisor when I was at London Bible College at the church. And the elders decided who my supervisor would be, and it was not the person I would have chosen. In fact, it was the last person I would have chosen. And I remember them saying something to me, which I found quite painful and hurtful. And I didn't like it at all. And I went away quite angry by what this person said. But as the years rolled by, the months and then years rolled by, I reflected on it, and thought, actually, that guy was right. I didn't want to hear it, but actually, his comment, it might have been said in a little bit more grace, I must admit, but his comment was helpful. And actually, as I journeyed along in ministry, it has protected me. You know, I hear his voice occasionally in my ear when I get to that point when I'm thinking, oh, he saw that in me and I didn't want him to see it in me. And it corrected me. And it holds me back occasionally from going to the place that I shouldn't go. The role of the pastor, the carer, is often the one who protects. And actually, that's the person often we don't want around. But actually, it's a very important role. And all these things are gifts of the Spirit of God. And do you like that kind of shepherd? I hope so. I hope that you rejoice in the shepherds, those that have been called to lead. Those, and I think this is a role of the church, those that have been called to rescue. We need rescuers. We need rescuers, folks. We need those who teach and feed us. We need those who remind us, who say, go on holiday. Go and rest. Go and have a break. You're doing too much. We need those people to remind us of how important that is. But we also need those people, by the gift of God, to protect us, to hold the rod and staff, and to make sure that we don't go the wrong direction or get attacked by the evil one. Let's pray, shall we, that that gift might be poured out upon his people, recognizing this is the gift of grace given by the Spirit of God. Lord Jesus, firstly, we want to thank you for being the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. That's what Scripture calls you, the chief shepherd. There is no greater shepherd than you, because you lay your life down for us, because you loved us so much. Lord, teach us by your own example of how we can care for each other, how we can shepherd each other, encourage each other, move each other along, tell each other when we need to rest, to lead in the right direction, to protect, to rescue, whatever it is, Lord. Whatever role we need to play, pour your Spirit upon us this day, that we might know the heart of Jesus, that we might know the compassion of Jesus, that we might know the gifts of Jesus in our own lives, and that we would not hold them to ourselves, but we would give them to others, so that they might grow and flourish in you. Amen.